The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Goldie's Closet, episode 68. We've got some Revan rockin' awesome royalty heading your way. Brand family, Realm Network. This is Mo Rock. He is an award-winning producer, entrepreneur, and entertainment consultant. He's a dear friend. Get ready. Get ready for this ride. He will knock your socks off. Warm welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Mo Rock. I show up in my wacky wigs and whatnot and like let people freak out, and I like to get an honest response. But today, you know what? I'm just too freaking dirty, Mo, to even wash my hair. So I just like pulled it in a ponytail and this goes on and we're done.
You know what? It's 2020. I think that right now is a okay time to be a little dirty.
I think
most people have only showered twice in the last 6 months.
No, I absolutely believe it. And I was looking for information on you, and I did finally come up with your IMBD so that I could read a little bit. But you know, I didn't know that you really do cater to entrepreneurs, and rightly so with your background and everything. But you have just so, I love bringing people on the show that have so much knowledge, a wealth of experience, and you're so young. It's like you've done it the old-fashioned way. You really earned it. You really went out and hustled. I want to take people back to, well, first off, let's talk a little bit about who you are, and then we'll go back to like where I met you, because that's such a, and I'm looking for that doggone clip. I got to find it, bro. I got to find it. You talk, yeah, so, I adjust the bangs.
Yeah, so I'm an entrepreneur.
Love
and
it.
I primarily have spent the last several years acquiring equity in various different startups as an investor, and as well as helping other people with their businesses. But I really earned my business stripes, if you will, in the music industry.
I know.
And that was really where I learned, and where I grew, and where I first went into the trenches of war, aka business. Mm-hmm. And I took the lessons that I learned from the music industry, and I started to apply them in various different industries to various different levels of success. So I've built a very, I would call it a diverse career over the course of the last 10 years. You know, on paper, it may look like I've hopped quite a bit from one thing to another, but everything that I do usually falls into the veil of public relations and working with the public. So whether that is with a magazine that I may have been in charge of running and facilitating and publishing, whether that is in charge of various different news projects and media projects that I'm involved with, whether it's film, radio, television, or whether it's a startup in the technology space that's for the consumer. I don't do a lot of B2B type businesses. I mainly do B2C. So everything that I've done is usually involving the general public at large. And also, what I'm proudest of is the work that I do with the World Philanthropy Group. We had a project set up for Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, 2 months ago. And due to the pandemic, it was delayed. But that is really my way of giving back and really taking the principle of you have to give to get to heart and actually doing it, as opposed to a lot of people who might think that as long as you say it or think it, something will happen. But I actually live my life by giving. And the irony is, the more that I've given, the more that I've received. And we've heard this for thousands of years.
Yes.
And a lot of people think it might be true, so they put $5 in a, you know, in a charity jar. But when you really actually embody that and you're not attached to what you receive, what I found is, ironically, you actually get more than you could ever imagine just by continuously giving. So does that kind of, I hope that kind of does a good solid background, so people kind of have a good feel for your,
do you
for
think, Do you think, because I've been combing your social media and, you know, I'm all across the board with listening to people's religions and their viewpoints and their politics. I pretty much have my own set things, but as a podcast that we did earlier today with a really interesting woman, I don't care what I believe in or what I think is right. I think the missing link is listening and hearing what other people have to say and at least hearing them. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to agree with everybody's stuff, Mo. You don't have to be right. You don't have, it's just like, are people being heard? And I think the root of the problem, especially the latter half of what's going on in our society, is people do not feel like they're being heard. Now, that being said, because like I said, I stir up the pot. Do you think, like, I mean, you are Persian. We joke about you being the only Persian in Minnesota, and we'll go back in a minute to why we talk about that. But do you think your family upbringing, did that have something to do with, you know, your generosity, or are your people as a whole more generous than do you think my people are? I'm just curious. I don't know a lot about the Persian culture. I don't, you know what I mean? And I know like other cultures vary from, you know, this to that. Like, how does your culture buy into whatever the word I'm looking for? How does it factor into like how you just set yourself up saying you get so much back when you give?
I think that has more to do with my own individual journey.
Okay.
And my own individual interpretation of life. As from a cultural perspective, you know, I was born in Minnesota and I was raised in the suburbs of Minnesota.
But so you still had Mama Mo, you know.
That's true. No, so definitely it gave me a unique ability to kind of look at two different elements of society and culture. But I've always related to the country that I was born and raised in, and the place that I grew up, and the place that I've built and lived my entire life. But from a cultural perspective, you know, the Persian culture historically is a very rich culture.
Yeah.
It goes back to thousands of years. The first reported instance of unalienable rights given to individuals from a higher power, which we actually have here in the United States, in our constitution, the first time in human history that a government said that you actually have rights from God actually came from the Persian civilization.
Really?
So it was the first time that power was given to the people, in the sense that and governments don't give power to the people, but it was the first time that the government reminded people that the power that you have comes from a higher power. So it's not our place or our role to limit that. And actually the founding fathers of this great country sampled the original constitution, which came from the Persian Empire. We're talking a pre-Islamic time of that region. The Persian Empire at that time, they were primarily Zoroastrians, and they Cyrus, the king at that time, was the one that sort of proclaimed this. So again, you know, I wasn't expecting to get into world history on here, but to answer your question, I'm going off on a riff. I don't think it has anything to do with any culture.
Okay.
We all have a unique perspective on life and how we interpret life. You and I, we've had very, you know, similar journeys in many respects. Mm-hmm. You, just like me, earned your business stripes in the music industry, right? As a teenager who was in the music industry. Yep. I was a teenager. I went in the music industry. It's a hell of a place to learn about life, about business, and about, you know, everything in your life, financially, mentally, physically, relationally, spiritually. You know, to me, going into the music business, I have so much respect for anybody that's able to go into that business and have the grit, tenacity required to make it in that business. So, you know, it was really a unique, really a personal approach that I take that led me to that. Not like a cultural thing.
No, I love hearing that. Like our family has, many different, nationalities thrown into the blender, but, my mom was very, very Irish, God rest her soul, and grew up in the Great Depression. And, you know, we always joke about like, and I hope this isn't, well, it's my show. I'll say it if I'd like to. You know, she would always joke and say, or my dad would joke and say, Irish shanty, like very poor, very. And I think like always hearing about my Irish heritage and Irish, not having any money, and giving and giving and giving. That contributed very much to why that's what I saw. Again, it could be Germans, it could be anybody. I'm just saying this is my background. I'm always interested how other people's, like being Persian, how that factors into who you became as an individual. So I absolutely love that story. Let's take everybody back to, we have so many awesome people at the Realm Network and on Vince Russo's brand who dig up old Goldilocks singles and things, and now they're all recycling and up for sale again. God bless y'all for streaming that stuff. And we started working, me and a boy band in Minneapolis, Minnesota, with the DARE, Minnesota DARE organization. And how that started was I was the photographer for the boy band, and I would get called to run over to this school or run over to this school, whether it be Woodbury or Brooklyn Park or wherever, because the boys are exploding. Goldie, bring your camera. You know, I didn't even have a license for some of it. When I was 16, I was bringing my camera, running in, because the girls were going crazy over that boy band. And then what happened organically when you talk about earning your stripes, and this is where people get caught up. They either want to make it and they like the dream, or they really want to make it. Mm-hmm. And when I showed up to that school, Mo, the boys were looking for something to pop on, and they were sick of seeing all these guys, you know, the boy band. They wanted a girl. And because I showed up right place, right time, they said, you're singing now with the boys. So then we put together a show real quickly, and I'm at your school, and I meet you. And this was years ago.
Yeah, well, Don't
years ago.
This was a few years ago, and I don't want to go into details either. So, but no, that is actually where we met. It's actually one of the first times I went on stage. Consequently, a few years later, I would go on world tour, and I've probably been on over 200, 300 stages in my life. But that was one of the first memories that I remember vividly, was with you. So it's kind of funny how a lot of these seeds get planted, and years later, you look back, you're like, wow, that was a defining moment.
Isn't
so
that definitely, crazy?
Yeah. It is crazy, but it's not crazy. Like I said, going back to what we started the conversation with when I shared with you that my whole modus operandi of giving comes from my personal interpretation of life. I have, you know, a really what has been called a holistic perspective on life. And I bring that to my businesses as well. I bring that whenever I acquire a new business, whenever I invest in a new business, I take that holistic approach. Mm-hmm. And so because I have experienced so much of what's called synchronicity, Goldie, things like that don't even surprise me anymore. You know, Carl Jung has a word called synchronicity. Carl Jung came up with the word, which is my favorite word in the dictionary, called synchronicity. And so synchronicity to me is my favorite word by far. I think it's the most powerful word in the dictionary. And what that really means are extreme coincidences that, you know, don't make sense on paper, but if you're walking your own individual spiritual path, it makes a lot of sense to you. You meet someone at the right time, at the right place. You know, it could be two words that you hear on the radio in a song that inspire a thought to change the whole trajectory of your life and in business. And so I really, you know, make it a point to stay in tune with that word that Carl Jung came up with to make sure I don't miss synchronicity. To make sure I don't miss the clues that the universe is giving us all. Because I believe that the universe is always giving us clues.
People miss that, Mo. I think they about the. I was talking to that woman earlier today. She starts out her day. She's actually, what do you call it? Dependency counselor at a prison, an all-male prison. And she said she likes to start out each session with a 3-minute, what do you call it when you meditate? 3-minute meditation of being present, and adding into that is seeing and hearing the universe's clues. And I think we're so caught up sometimes on our devices, we're not even listening and hearing or seeing what's around us, where there's magnificent clues. I want to address something to our men on the Realm Network and on Vince Russo's brand. This is a little exercise that I like to do, and I want to share that with you. When I walk into a new place and if I feel like I'm gussied up or even if I'm not, I like to put out the vibe, number one, that there's rays of love coming out of me, as goofy as this sounds, so that anybody that looks at me feels loved or hugged. And then I also just think, dear God, dear higher power, if there's a hot dude in the room, let him find me. Like, I am constantly putting out the vibe for, like,
yeah.
So that
you had me until that last part. I can't really relate to that. But but up until there, yeah. I mean, up until that last part, I definitely feel what you're saying. You know, there's a we always give off energy.
I know.
And we are energetic beings, all of us. And there's so much more that meets the eye. You know, if you think you're just the meat suit walking around, then you have a lot to learn about how magnificent and how incredible and how powerful you truly are. So your energy and the frequency of your energy is the definite factor of what is going to happen in your life. This is the energy that you walk with and live with and embody is going to affect your life in five categories: financially, mentally, physically, relationally, and spiritually. And all of this has to do with what you're talking about, Goldie, that energy, that mentality, that mindset. Now, the good news is you can control your energy. That's the good news. So you can control your frequency that you tap into. You can control the thoughts that you choose to have, and you can program yourself to be a certain way. So those five categories of life, the results of the five categories of what I just said reflect the values that you embody in yourself. Right. So if you, as Goldilocks, choose consciously to walk in a room with what you're talking about, which is love and awareness, that's going to give you an edge in all five categories that I just mentioned. It's going to give you an edge financially. It's going to give you an edge mentally. You know, it's going to give you an edge physically, relationally, and spiritually.
Bros, if you're listening to this, that also goes under the category of getting laid. I'm always trying to help my bros on the Realm Network get some whatever they're looking for. And if you bring to the party, if you bring to the table that, it doesn't matter what you look like, what your height is, or what you're, whatever. Like, if you're bringing some confidence to the table, guys, this is exactly what we're talking about. And I'm not the best looking chick out there, and I'm not the richest chick out there. I do okay in the dating department because I bring to the table some confidence. Want to drive that home. We always want to have our listeners that are driving wherever they're driving now.
And I'll add to that, women are a lot more intelligent, receptive, and intuitive than men think they are. So your confidence, not only does it have to be there, but it's got to be authentic.
Yes.
You know, it's got to be authentic, real confidence. And if you don't have yet, and if you haven't been able to get your state of mind to a place where your confidence is authentic, then the work needs to actually start internal, right? Because a man who's on his purpose, a man who knows, first of all, who he is, and second of all, what he wants, is always going to be living in an abundance when it comes to relationships, when it comes to that element of life. So it's got to start from within, right? If there's anyone listening to this, who's a man who wants to get in a relationship, who's been struggling and doesn't know why and is trying so many different things, really take a break, take a breather, even if it takes a few months. Get your own shit together first, mentally, physically, financially, spiritually, and then the relationally will also follow suit.
Let me tell you what else is going to follow suit, and this goes for chicks. There's a couple chicks that I'm seeing online. I don't want to hear about your shit. I don't want to hear about your pity party. I don't want to hear about your woe is me. Every once in a while, it's okay to get on and vent and look for a little attention. Every once in a while. But if every day, day in, hour out, on and on, yada-da-ya-ya-ya, poor me, I don't have this, I don't have that. We were talking about energy and the frequency, and you know the law of attraction. You guys listening, you've heard me pound this in your brains for years. The law of attraction is just going to state you're going to get more of what you're talking about, whether it's good or bad. So there is a thing that women have mastered throughout the years called faking it. And even if you don't have your five things together, people, you can fake it enough where tell yourself something good about yourself. Today I did on all the social platforms, Mo, I did a little video that just said, I want you to state your name and where you live and something great about yourself because I want to get to know you more. And an exercise as simple as that, when you're walking around getting your fives together, to remind yourself the good qualities and stop constantly listing negative, bad, lack,
yeah,
not good enough. Nobody wants to hear about it, especially you, especially your own inner being. We don't need to hear it. Fake it a little bit. Get there. Yeah.
So here's the cool thing about what you just said, Goldie. When you fake it, quote unquote, what science tells us is that physiologically speaking, I'll give you an example. If you're if you're sitting down and you're slouched over like this,
mm-hmm,
the slouch actually does affect your state of mind. This has been proven by science.
It does.
So if you stand up like this and you got your back straight, or if you jump up and down and you're like, you know what? I'm pumped up about life. I'm excited about life. If you just jump up a few times, as silly as this sounds, what science and experiments and research have told us is that that physical act actually affects your state of mind.
Yeah.
So if you're walking in a room, and before you walk in that room, you might feel a little, you know, nervous. You might feel like, man, I might be out of place here. If you walk with a straight back and your head is held high, you're actually going to start feeling more authentically confident. So the irony, Goldie, is when you fake it, it actually leads to authentic results.
I agree. Here's a point that I can make that may or may not work for people, but I will make the point. You have two people, Mo. You have somebody who was a brand new bass player who, after a month and a half of never doing any shows, is now gone. He's flown the coop.
Are we talking about your band? I just want to know what we're talking about.
Our band. We hired somebody, invested a ton of time and money into him over the COVID, was paying for him to come in town, was paying for him to practice with us. I spent my stimulus check on new clothes for him, for stage, for meetings and interviews, because he didn't have it. And I give people the benefit of the doubt, Mo, and I meet them where they are, and I meet face value. So my point is every time I went to order something and send him a link, he would respond with, oh, but that doesn't look very comfortable. Oh, I couldn't wear that because it won't be very he was so concerned with comfort, whereas I'm saying, dude, you need all the help that you can get looking cool, because it ain't happening. Yeah. So you might want to shut the F up and wear this stuff on stage. It's 45 minutes out of your life. Chicks are going to dig you. They're going to think you look really with it, and you're going to have a good life. But he was so concerned with comfort. That's person number one. Person number two, our new guitarist, who came from, drum roll, Los Angeles, who everything out of his mouth is, before he even knew about that story, I don't care. Put it on me. I'll wear it. I don't care if it's comfortable. I'm not here to look comfortable. I'm here to look cool. Mm-hmm. Completely different mentality. Hustle, hustle, hustle. So when you're talking about slouching over or whatever, like, I'm wearing a very uncomfortable bustier right now. I really breathe, but I know that I want to look good on this interview, and I want to force myself to sit up straight. So yes, I could have worn my comfy soft sweats and pulled my hair back in a ponytail, and guess what? None of you people will even look, because if I look remotely nude, my ratings go up, and I know that. It's not always about comfort. Sometimes it's about competence. You can be comfortable in your own house and your own stuff, but my point is, as fellas, don't always go for the easy road. And ladies, go for something that is going to, because standing up straight isn't always the most comfortable as slouching down, but it's going to affect you in so many greater ways. Think of the bigger picture in life. Think of the bigger picture.
Absolutely. And what you're saying actually reminds me, Goldie, and I should mention, part of my work is that of a performance and leadership advisor. So I work with a lot of CEOs and people that own companies. And I actually put out a book last week.
Let's hear it.
Called Lead by Example,
which I posted.
And I do appreciate you posting that. We got quite a few people who were into the book and purchased the book, and a lot of that's because of your support and your platform. So I'm eternally grateful. We actually hit number one in one of the self-help categories in the 45-minute the 45-minute self-help category on Amazon. We hit number one, which was really cool. We were there for like a few days. But I digress from that. I'm only bringing that up, Goldie, because the first chapter of that book, my latest book, Lead by Example, the first chapter, and this is a book about leadership. This is a book primarily for entrepreneurs. This is a book for practical business people. And yet, the first chapter of the book was called Gratitude.
Oh, for sure.
the first chapter of the book was called Gratitude. Now, a lot of times, Goldie, I might be speaking at certain events or a business conference, and I start talking, and you know, a lot of people might talk about marketing or their business strategy when you know they're speaking on stage. And here's this guy coming up talking about gratitude, and here's a bunch of business people, and oftentimes I get kind of about a third of the room that has this puzzled and confused look on their face. Like, what the hell is this guy talking about? I'm here to learn how to make more money, and here's this guy talking about gratitude. He's not talking about a closing technique. He's not talking about a marketing tool or strategy or a swipe file or a widget or a way for me to get rich quick. He's talking about gratitude, and that inevitably happens every time I talk about it, but for the people that don't understand why that has so much to do with what your success in business, your success in running a band, your success in relationships, if you don't get it, then you just don't get it. But those that get it understand why that's such a fundamental, important part of life. And that's why it's the first chapter of my book, Lead by Example, which is on Amazon right now. Because what you're explaining to me, Goldie, is a situation where here you are looking to build a business. And a band is a business, right?
Not in Nashville.
Isn't the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Nashville?
The shit Hall of Fame. It's a joke. It's bad here. Yeah, back to businesses. This is a business. This is a business. This is a business. Gratitude.
Gratitude. I mean, look, whether it's a band or whether it's a business or whether it's a relationship, whether it's leading in life, it's got to start with gratitude. If you are working with somebody that's not showing gratitude, the same, you know, could be for the bass player of a band, the same as if you have a business and you're interviewing someone and you can tell that they just don't have that attribute of gratitude, that's usually a red flag. You want to work with people who practice gratitude. You just gave me two examples in your life recently where on one hand, somebody was grateful and said, yeah, that I appreciate you giving me, you know, your input. I trust you. Yeah. I'm grateful for the opportunity. On the other hand, it's, no, this is too big. This is too small. Right then and there, Goldie, as soon as somebody shows you who they are, believe them, right? There's that old saying. When someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Who said it? If you can tell me who said
it. I thought you said that. Isn't that a Goldilocks quote?
I did a photo session of the woman that said that. Can you tell me who it was? Come on. Dr. Maya Angelou.
Oh, wow. That was a Maya Angelou quote?
Excuse my wig itch. She's the one that that said that. And her only requirements during her photo shoot was she didn't want her wheelchair to be shown. You had to drape it in a way and light it so that it wasn't about her being sick. But believe people, and you know, this is I think the key problem in relationship turmoil and distress and divorce is so many times when we look back at things that didn't work out, God, your higher power, your angels, the universe, call it, her, him, whatever you want, has presented you with a just bitch slap of here is one big red flag. And then women especially, and I can say this because I'm a woman, we think that we are going to change you. You dumb bitch. You're not going to change anybody. Somebody who is who they are by, what does my dad say, a probation officer for 30 years? I think he says by 5, 6, 7 years old, your character is, you're done.
By 6 years old, the values of the subconscious mind and the foundations are actually set in place. Now, the mind usually stops growing, the brain, I should say, usually stops growing by about 25, 26, but the actual foundation of who you are is set in the first 6 years of your life. What that means, Goldie, is that when you go out to the supermarket, when you go out shopping, when you get pulled over by the police, when you're dealing with another human being on the street, when you're dealing with someone online, you're walking around with a bunch of 6-year-olds and 40, 50, 60, 70-year-old bodies. And that's why introspective work is so important. That's why personal development is so important. That's why taking time to really reflect authentically and honestly with who you are is so vitally important. Because if you don't, you'll never ever grow from that 6-year-old self. The same insecurities, the same pain, the same unresolved emotional issues that you had as a 6-year-old girl, that someone watching this had as a 6-year-old man or 6-year-old boy. still exists, right? So if you suppress it and if you're not aware of it, it's going to actually affect your life, because the way that our minds work is we try to constantly relive our past with the attempt of trying to fix something that happened to us, a childhood trauma, a unresolved emotional issue. Our mind is designed to constantly try to fix that pattern. And this usually is the reason why a lot of times, Goldie, we see people going into the same relationship with the same problems, with the same issues, with the same negative effects with different people. It's almost as if it's the same person in a different body. And this is why we see these kind of patterns in lives. This is why so many people have the same self-destructive situations that they constantly bring upon themselves, because they don't even know what they don't even know.
You're self-sabotaging.
It's not my place to tell anyone what they should or shouldn't do, but if you want to be a leader, if you want to grow, then leaders are readers. You know what I mean? And I know look, by the way, I'm a big wrestling fan. I love wrestling. Okay. In my opinion, the best era was the late 90s. Okay. When Rock was going back and forth from being heel. And so like that era to me is the best era. That's the golden age. I think when Cena got in the mix, everything started going downhill. It's just my personal opinion. To me, the era of Stone Cold, Rock, Rikishi, you know, that to me was the golden era of wrestling.
To the people listening to this right now, let me just tell you like what that's why I'm just saying. I love everything that you're saying today, because I always come from a place of like, I joke about stuff, but I really want to help people. And my mom used to always say, shit in, shit out, Moon. It's my real name. People know that. And it's all what you consume and what you know. I'm literally feeling like I need to step up my game, looking at all the books, listening to the book that you have written, listening to the content. It's like I am enjoying this podcast, and I hope that the people listening, I expect that they do, you know, enjoy being a fly on the wall with the friends that I've made over these years. That's who we bring on. We do bring on a lot of wrestlers and whatnot, but I got to tell you, like, some of the wrestlers that you're mentioning, like, if you listen to, there was a Larry King interview where he was interviewing Bret the Hitman Hart and John Cena about Chris Benoit and everything. I literally was blown away by how articulate and intelligent John Cena is. Bret Hart and I have exchanged words for many years. We were friends for a while. And, you know, I know he's articulate, but not John Cena just like blew me away. Like these guys that a lot of the people listening and watching to that they really admire, they're freaking reading. So that's some good juice.
You got to be smart. You got to be smart to make it in the wrestling business, because what people don't know is, and I've been friends with some professional wrestlers, they're philosophers. When you sit down and talk to them, because what is it that they do? What they do is they captivate and they capture, and they're able to add a sense of magic and escapism to the masses. What other category of people do that? I'm going to tell you guys right now. You have the wrestler, you have the statesman, the politician, you have the pastor, the Joel Osteen type who can captivate a huge audience. Wrestlers are in that same category. The art of leading a situation where you literally have 80,000 people around you and they're grabbing on to every single word that you say in the microphone. I'll use Jesse Ventura as the perfect example. I think he was the best on the mic to ever do it. That is an art. And it's no coincidence, by the way, Goldilocks, that Jesse Ventura went on to become governor of the state of Minnesota, because whether you're a statesman or whether you're a wrestler, the degree of separation is way less than you think. Now, you might think to yourself, what the hell does a wrestler have to do with being a leader? And I'm here to tell you, it has everything to do with being a leader. There's so many leadership lessons you can get from the successful people in the wrestling business. I don't know how many lessons you can get from what was that guy's name, the TNA guy, the guy with the scrap over here. But I digress from that. But from most wrestlers,
which guy are you talking about?
God, what was his name? New Jack. The point I'm making is I don't know how many lessons you can get from a New Jack, but from most wrestlers, you can get a lot of lessons. Maybe
Foley was amazing for that.
From a New Jack, you can get ruthlessness. Maybe that's a good lesson to have in leadership. No, but it's all love. I have respect for New Jack. I love those guys. And so, yeah, I'm just saying, like, there's so much that people can learn from wrestlers that they may have never imagined before. But you got to look at it from a certain lens. These are leaders out there.
I agree. We have a new video that you know all about. And if we can talk about that, we will. But how I know you through that, for the people that are listening that have watched All To You, there's a lot of really great articles that are coming out. And if I post the link to the article, a lot of times the same photo of me comes up and it just looks like my head, my face, me, me, me. So what I did this time is overrode the link with my own collage. So every day that there's a new article out, I'm picking somebody in the video to do a golden shout out for. This week was Chase Stevens from NWA, TNA, WWE, many different great organizations and promotions he's been with. So I went ahead, Mo, and I put down why Chase did a great job, why he was a good leader, what he brought to the table. And it was so that this goes back to the original part of our conversation about giving. I did it so that it's not all about me, and I wanted to make sure other people were highlighted. What I wasn't expecting and what I tweeted back was, you know, wrestlers have big muscles, but a lot of them have big hearts. Is Chase went ahead and just reflected perfectly, like mirrored every single thing that I put about him. He posted back with, Goldie's been my friend for this many years. Goldie made all of our ring gear. Goldie sang our ring song, blah, 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 like going all down. She's got this show. I did this with her. And it was very odd because I wasn't do it for any other reason than to deflect from myself. And I was blown away again by how articulate, intelligent, kind, and intuitive that Chase was for doing that. Like, people don't give them as much credit as they deserve. Like, a lot of these guys are freaking brilliant businessmen. Mm-hmm. They really, really, really are. And I appreciate you bringing that up.
No, absolutely. No, wrestlers and anyone that has the grit and tenacity to go into that business, I have a tremendous amount of respect for it. And you know, what's fascinating about you is you've gotten into two different industries that are both equally competitive, mm-hmm. equally complicated, and that's the music industry and the wrestling industry. Because both of these industries, it's a situation where you're dealing with a whole host of power dynamics, right?
Oh, God.
And whether we're talking the music industry or whether we're talking the wrestling industry, you're dealing with, you know, because industries like that where there's glory and there's fame and there's glitz and there's glamour, it's always going to attract a lot of certain personality types. And navigating and dealing with those personality types is not easy, right? So yeah. Anyone that can survive in those two businesses, I'm telling you, like, if you make it in the music industry, if you make it in the wrestling industry, you could get a Harvard MBA in your sleep.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. I will say it's very interesting that you would think it would be the wrestling business that I would deal with the most issues with, like, harassment and whatnot. Even though I did, it was nothing compared to, like, the music business. It's wrestling. Wrestling is dirty and gross, but it's not in the way that people sometimes think. Are we allowed to talk about one of your current positions or not? Do we punch out here or do we talk about that or no?
Whatever you want to talk about, Goldie.
I want to talk about your... First off, before I get to that, what was the magazine that we reconnected several years ago? You were very prominent in pushing, promoting that magazine, and then maybe now you've switched gears a little bit to the one you're presently at. What was the name of the magazine that still is online? You still run it, the hip hop?
Yeah, so I don't run it anymore, but I was the founder of it.
Okay.
And we sold it, but I'm still, you know, on the advisory board, so I'm loosely connected to it, okay. But not nearly as much as I once was. Now hip hop, and at one point in time, I haven't really been involved in the operations for a few years, but at one point in time, it was getting hundreds of thousands of unique visitors weekly. We built it into one of the biggest names in urban entertainment.
Yes.
And we had, even to this day, we have a household name in that community and the urban entertainment market. I was super proud. Started it really, Goldie. it was about 2012, 2011. And I had just accumulated my first gold record as a music producer.
Crazy.
And for a single that was released in 2009, went gold in 2010. And around 2012, after about a three-year run, I decided that I just don't want to be on the front lines of the business anymore.
Can you say which record it is or no?
Yeah, it was Baby June. I mean, it's all public record. But that's a public record. I don't like revisiting things too much, only because, not because I have a problem doing it, just because it's like a lifetime ago. And because there's so many different projects I'm involved with today and I'm focused on tomorrow. I'm a fan of sticking to the glory days or the good old days or whatever, you know. I'm always looking to reinvent myself, mm-hmm. and looking to grow and looking to move forward to bigger and better things. And the music business, because us as musicians get so passionate about it, mm-hmm. whenever we have any success, it's really easy for us to get caught up in that moment. Mm-hmm. Because when you have a hit record, it's a moment in time. And you captivate and capture the global audience for a moment. And what I know, as people that have friends in that business, friends that have had success in that business, I've had a lot of mentors that have had success in that business. It's easy for artists who have success at a young age to get caught up in that, sure. and kind of lose their identity.
Yep.
And be like, oh, wait, I'm this young person that has a hit record that was on TV that tens of millions of people knew that.
I guess you were pretty young then.
oh, my bad. But
you really were, you know.
Yeah, but the point is, like, the point is right now as a leadership advisor, everything that I've learned, I put into place for leaders and CEOs and people in business to apply. So don't get caught up in your previous W. Right. And even whether it's a wrestler who may have, got put over and had an opportunity to, get the title match.
He knows the lingo.
You know, like.
Put over? What does that mean? Complimented. Go ahead.
Right. So, but you get what I'm saying. Like,
I do.
If you're a Ryback, right, are we going to sit here and just talk about 2012 and how Vince should have gave you a shot at the title when the world was saying, feed me more? No. If I have a chance to talk to Ryback, I'm going to tell him, go focus on tomorrow. Don't get caught up and stuck in feed me more, right? Should you have gotten the chance to get the title? Yeah. Do I think that Vince McMahon made a mistake by not giving Ryback a chance to get the title and get put over when the world was saying, feed me more? Absolutely. But do I understand why Vince did that as a business person? Yeah, I do. You know, you want to control the people. Vince has learned his lesson. You know, too many people that he put over have backstabbed him. I get that. So, you know, you want to make sure that the good old boys are the ones that get put over. But I digress from that point. The point is, don't get caught up in the past. Don't get caught up, right? I know that Goldilocks' best music is coming out ahead of us, not behind us. I know that the best that Goldie has to offer is coming out ahead of us, not behind us, right? The best is yet to come. And that's something that I always encourage people to remember financially, mentally, physically, relationally, and spiritually.
I dig it. I'm going to counteract on that and say that it is always good also to remember history, not to dwell on it or to get caught up in it. But I am enjoying, and I will say, Mo, I am enjoying all of the new people that are watching Impact Plus us and discovering what I used to do and asking questions and excited about it. It doesn't mean that I'm living there, but I do go back and I review some of the mistakes that I made and I kind of adjust, tweak, bend, and fix them in the present, putting out new content, but still remembering some of the old and commentating on it or doing some behind the scenes on what was really going on and making it something new, along with new content, along with the new songs, with the new music. But it is fun to kind of go back sometimes, as long as it's positive. So
I encourage everyone listening to go back and listen to Goldilocks' song called Kiss. I think that if you guys want to know what the quintessential pop song sounds like, go listen to Kiss by Goldilocks.
I ripped it. It's a rip.
What do you mean it's a rip?
It's a complete, absolute rip formula of a hit song that was on the radio a couple of years before that that I loved, and I went and I did.
Okay, can I tell you something, my dear?
And I ripped it, and I got a record deal from the same company that the song I ripped was from.
I want to explain something to you, if I may. That's not called a rip. What that is called is a sample, and what that is called...
it is a total. And the best was sitting across from the table getting the record deal and having the guy say, it's just so unique but familiar. And I was like, you dumb motherfucker. Like,
yeah.
Do you not know that's the same song that you signed that artist to? It's just a little different.
So I'm not going to allow you to take credit away from it because it's a fantastic work of art. Okay, I won't allow you to turn it into anything less than it is. As I was saying, if you guys want to listen to the quintessential pop song, go look up Kiss by Goldilocks. This is as good of a pop song as you possibly bubblegum pop. Goldilocks had it down. I'm talking that bubblegum
bastard. What's the name? Name of your book on Amazon is I Can't Handle Compliments. Go ahead.
Lead by example. So if you guys want to check it out, it's available on Kindle. And a lot of the subject matters we spoke about today, I go into detail on there, of especially the concept of gratitude, which I think is super important, especially in today's world where we have just gone through like a collective tsunami. And right now, more than ever, we need to all practice gratitude in our day-to-day lives.
I want to put that up on my, I'm going to get it, and then I'll just automatically know that I love it. I'm going to go ahead and put that up on my vanity URL for Amazon. You guys all know the drill, amazon.com/shop/Goldilocks rocks under books that I love, which doesn't hurt you at all, Mo. It's just more sales if people want to go up there. Gratitude is really good, and I do want to talk about, first off, is the book the only thing that's out right now, or can we give you some follows, or the current job or overseeing that you do right now? What are some call to actions if people have made it this long? What are some things that we want to plug and people to be aware of?
Really, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff that we're going to be putting out within the next few weeks that have to do with personal coaching and leadership and high performance. And probably the best way to stay in the loop with that is on my Instagram,
Go ahead. What is it?
Which is just Mo Rock Loves You. And, you know, my website's artofworldlywisdom.com. And
podcast. You have a podcast.
We do have a podcast. It's also called Art of Worldly Wisdom.
Spell out the Instagram. Spell it out.
Sure. It's MoerockLovesYou. Mo Rock Loves You. Because I do.
Yeah, there's a good, you're just as goofy as I am with that. I get it, and I say the same thing. Like, and you're sincere. The gratitude thing is completely relevant, real, legit. Yeah. And I do want to tell everybody while we close this out, I want to tell everybody a story. I don't know if it's Lion and the Mouse. It is a little bit. Do you know the Lion and the Mouse story from back?
I'm about to know it.
The Lion and the Mouse is basically a big, huge lion is laying there and he's got a thorn in his paw, and a mouse comes along, and the mouse could definitely just run because it's going to get eaten by the lion, but it takes pity, and the mouse pulls out the thorn, and therefore they're friends for life. And you got to look at stuff like that, and there's so many unlikely friendships that are out there and whatnot, but that segues in, and this can be applied to bands, businesses, friendships, relationships, and it's that old adage of square peg into a round hole. It ain't gonna work. If it's square, it's not gonna fit into that hole, and that goes back to what we were talking about full circle, Mo, to red flags. So we have this video, all to you, that everybody listening has heard me talk about immensely. And it's a long video. It's almost 10 minutes long, and it has wrestling scenes in it and fight scenes, and it has things that are edgy or controversial or make people uncomfortable or trigger them. And when I was pitching that for a premiere, I had somebody that I paid a lot of money to help me that just didn't quite get around to it. And they basically told me after I paid them the money that I should just give up, that nobody will premiere it, that it's, their feedback was it was too long, it was too edgy. Somebody even told me to take the fight scene out, that it wasn't relevant to have James Storm and Chase Stevens and Alan Funk in there. It was confusing. They didn't understand what was going on. And after all of these no's, 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 negative, 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 I just said, okay, so what you're saying is you don't want to work with me. All right, well, have a nice day. Move along. Move along. Freaking move along. If the square peg isn't fitting into the hole, move the F along. And people just sort of camp out at the same place. And what's the definition of insanity? It's doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So I pray to my high power and say, God, I need you to find a place for this video, which basically is praising your name, and it is in prevention of suicide. I need you to find me a good home for it. And then, you know, talking to you all of a sudden from out of nowhere. And this is how it works. Like you said earlier, it's that 2 seconds that you have an idea or you're inspired or this comes all of a sudden from out of nowhere. You mentioned that you happen to run what you run. You run this online news. Well, not even online. You run this news outlet, this publication. And you said, I am able to help you. Without me even really asking you, you said that. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how law of attraction, gratitude, positive thinking, all of it in a funnel, that is how it works. And not worrying about things. Don't panic. Don't worry. Even if you're broke right now in the pandemic or you're freaking out, you know, God helps those who help themselves. So don't sit on your ass all day long and like expect the bottle of Cavassier to come knocking on your door. Get out there and hustle, but have an optimistic attitude that expect greatness is coming. Expect, don't hope. You don't say, as they talk about in the book, the movie, The Secret, Mo, I'm pregnant. I sure hope it comes out okay. You don't say that. You're expecting. You're getting the nursery ready. You're not like, you know what I mean? Like more people need to shift into modern day to daily activities like that. And remember that you really helped me out a lot, but again, I was expecting something really cool to come along, and who would have thought that, you know, you're the lion and I'm the little mouse. And like all these years later, this little kid at a school that I was dancing around singing Kiss, my ripped off song. Who would have thought like all of these years later that you're responsible for a video that has over 100,000 views in it? I'm not on a major label right now. There's thousands of comments on it. People are going to that as a resource because they know that there's going to be comforting comments from people from our support base, your support base, leaving a guest book, if you will, of positive things about just stay, hang out, don't go anywhere. And that's all because of you. Like you really helped with that. Huge. And thank you.
Well, thank you, Goldie. First of all, I hear your heartfelt thank you, but I also want to thank you for doing something for the collective, because what you did with that body of work in a time where the world needs it most is you, through your art, were able to say, I understand and I feel your pain, and I'm here to hold your hand, and you're not alone. And people need to know that they are not alone. Mental illness is a serious, serious pandemic on the planet right now. And it's been a pandemic for a long time, and it's getting even worse and worse. Suicide is something that's affected almost everybody that I know has at least a friend that has gone through it. An acquaintance of mine recently committed suicide not that long ago. So, and that's not uncommon. And what, Goldie, I'll share with you, this actually, it happened literally about 3 weeks ago when I found out my acquaintance, this friend of a friend who I've spent a lot of time with, although I haven't seen him for many years, I knew him. What I found myself saying when I found out, Goldie, was that's the last person on earth that I could ever imagine doing it. Committed suicide. It's the last person on earth that I could ever imagine doing something like that. And when I heard myself think that and say that, I realized that I had heard that thousands of times in my life. Mm-hmm. But until it hit home, I didn't understand it. I've always heard people say, this person's the last person you would expect to do something like this. But until it was somebody that I personally knew that I lost to this, I didn't truly understand the magnitude of what that means.
Yeah.
Because I would hear it and be like, yeah, but maybe there was something, but maybe there was some sort of a warning that you missed, you know, or how could it be that there's no indication? Now I know, because it's actually happened to a friend of mine, right? And that was like the biggest thing I took away from it. So I wanted to thank you for your work because the world needs it. So the next time somebody and you know, going to the comment section is a testament of that. And how many countless people are not writing, but they're feeling better, or they're understanding better, or they're reflective of their life. And the fact that you created something so multicultural, because we're all human beings, is another powerful testament. So yeah, you know, I'm really proud of what you did, and it was a pleasure and an honor for us. And it was a pleasure and honor for us. And of course, you're talking about the work we do with the Los Angeles Tribune. It was a pleasure and honor for us to be able to feature the video on the front page of the Los Angeles Tribune as the main feature, where people from all over the world were able to see it. If there's anybody listening who has a story, who has something that they think should be told, you guys can contact Goldie or contact her team. They have connections with us to help facilitate something in that regard as well. But no, I you know, you're welcome, but also thank you, because you know, really, you're the one that put your heart, soul, and you produced that. And what people don't know is when you produce something, it costs a lot of money, and you did everything you know, as the executive producer, to make that happen, because you want to make a difference, right?
No, for sure. We could have taken the money and the time and the effort and the resources and done like the biggest hoochie mama thing ever, where, you know, it's just like, it's all about me or this or that. Like, yeah. I'm in that thing for like a few seconds. But
although I do want to say, I want you to do a rock cover of the song Kiss. And I want to see a music video of it.
Some horny little bitch back then that you won't shut up about.
Okay, listen. I want everybody listening to go Google, type Goldilocks Kiss, buy it on Amazon, leave a review.
Oh my God.
And we want to start a campaign called Bring Kiss Back. Okay, we're going to do a 2020 rock. We're going to do
it. Dude, you don't even feel it.
I want to see a rock. I want to see a rock.
It threw me out of school.
Well, that just makes it so much more awesome. I want to see a rock cover of Kiss done by you in 2020. Okay. I'm not going to stop until it happens.
I want to find the gimmick of you up on stage. So one more time, we're going to look for you on Instagram. It is Moe Rock Loves You. The name of your book on Amazon. Say it one more time, loud and clear.
Lead by example. You guys can type Moe Rock. It should come up.
You can, and I really appreciate, we are exact perfect timing, exactly 1 hour. We want to thank everyone once again. We want to thank Mark at the Realm Network for housing everyone at Russo's brand. We want to thank Vince Russo for the incredible just peers and colleagues that he houses every week, every month on Russo's brand. And we want to thank our special guest today, Mr. Mo Rock, who loves you. Ladies and gentlemen, can we have a big thunderous applause. You have to clap too for yourself. We clap for everybody at the end. Every podcast.
Thank you so much, Mo. I appreciate it. Clapping for myself. Huh? Thank you.
Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Goldilocks, and we are inside Goldie's Closet. And I want to ask a favor of you all, whether you watch the show or not, if you come to our band shows, what have you. It's something that you can do to support, and it costs nothing and no time at all. If you shop on a very popular online website, I would really appreciate it if you would bookmark some of the items that you are shopping for. And if you could just simply do this, go to goldienose.blogspot.com. If you go over to the right, all the way to the bottom, the About Me section, there's a link. It just says I'm an Amazon affiliate. If you click on that, it takes you inside my umbrella, and everything that you order, I can earn just some help and support to keep all of this going, to keep the band going. We've got a hefty vehicle repair. It's pretty substantial. So it would be really great if you could remember my link. We get some support. It's that simple. I love you all. Thank you for making the time to stop by and check out everything that we're doing. Mwah.